All right. Amen. Guys, we are in week four of this five-week little mini-series talking about the mission of our church. New year, same mission. We're on mission to do what God has called us to do as a church. We think it's a little unique. And so we think it's important to let you guys know what it is. And so so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to continue that conversation. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Mark chapter 10 this morning and Ephesians chapter 4. Both of those will come in handy. We'd ask that you'd also grab a bulletin. If you didn't get one of these when you came in, we've got digital notes. All you do is open up the camera app on your phone, scan that QR code, and that'll take you to our digital notes. Super helpful. We do ask that you take notes. If you're here, especially if you're visiting, you're probably wondering, what is this church about? Well, we're going to talk about it. So write it down. It'll be helpful for you. I'm going to pray for our time in God's Word, and then we will get started. Father, as we enter into this time, we ask that you would come and you'd move in power. Holy Spirit, we're going to invite you to come and just fill our pulpit. And we declare this morning that you are the teacher of this church. And so come and just teach us about transformation from the inside out. Talk to us about what it looks like. Help us understand it, that we ourselves might be changed and we might leave looking more like Jesus than we came in. We love you, Lord. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, if we're going to talk about our mission, we got to talk about our mission. And so if you don't know it yet, it's on the screen. I want to go over it with you one more time, that the mission of FBCE is to see families in Elgin transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ by loving through worship, learning through discipleship, and living through service and sharing of the gospel. And so this morning, we're going to talk about service. Next week, we're going to finish by talking about sharing of the gospel. And if you have your Bibles, I'm in Mark chapter 10, and we're going to read about 10 verses together here. Mark chapter 10, verse 35 through 45, and here's what the Word of God says. It says, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they were known as the sons of thunder, by the way, little hot-tempered maybe. They said, "Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask you." Man, that's a bold statement right there. Hey, Jesus, we're going to ask you a question, and no matter what it is, we want you to say yes. That sounds like your children around Christmas time, right? Parents, I've got a plan. Okay, just go with me here. Jesus says, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" And they answered him, "Allow us to sit at your right and your left hands in glory." That's a big ask. Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" He's talking about the cross there. They said, we're able, they told him. And Jesus said to them, "Well, you will drink the cup that I drink. You will be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But to sit at my right or my left is not mine to give. Instead, it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 disciples heard this, that James and John literally had the guts to ask this question, they're a little peeved, okay? They're like, "Are you kidding me? Who do you guys think you are?" Right? I mean, it gets to them. It says when they heard this, they began to be indignant with James and John. Jesus called them over and said to them, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them. And those in high positions, they act as tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you will be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you will be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Two things I want to share with you this morning, just two, and then I want you to hear another story of transformation this morning from folks within our walls. Here's the first thing I want you to see, guys. I want you to see that true transformation involves being shaped into the image of Christ who came to serve. Okay? True transformation involves being shaped into the image of Christ who came to serve. All right? I get this question a lot. Here it is. Ready? People say, "Pastor, why do you ask everyone at FBCE to serve? I don't get it. Why is that a requirement for membership? Like, you come to our membership class, our new members class, we've got it in a few weeks. We meet during this service back there, we talk about all that we do. One of the things we do in that class is we go, hey, here's a QR code, scan it, figure out where you're going to get plugged in. So why do we do that? Well, it goes back to our mission. What is our mission? To see families transformed by the gospel, and what, or better yet, who are we being transformed into? And the answer is Jesus, right? The answer is Jesus. We looked at this a few weeks ago. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord. So we can't understand all that Jesus is, but we've got a good idea of what Jesus is, right? We can't see him face to face right now, but we've got the gospel, we've got the word of God, we've got the Holy Spirit. We've got a pretty good idea of what Jesus looks like and how we should live. And so it's like we're looking in a mirror, we're looking at Jesus, and get this, it says, as we look in this mirror, as we focus our hearts on him, as we worship him, remember, we become like the things that we worship. It says as we do that, we are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory. So as we worship Jesus, as we set our hearts on Jesus, we're meant to be transformed into the image of Jesus, who according to verse 45 of Mark 10, came to do what? Y'all can say it. Welcome to church. To serve. He didn't come to be served. This is God in the flesh. God in the flesh didn't show up and say, hey, you mongrels, get on it. Wash my feet. I'm here. You owe me. I made you, suckers. Let's go. I mean, he could have just come down and be like, you're so lucky I haven't smote you already. Gosh, right? But he doesn't. He shows up instead with a heart full of compassion and looks at people that are lost. They're like sheep without a shepherd, and he chooses to live for them the life that they can't, and then willfully to die in their place to pay the payment for their sin. He came to serve us. How could we think any higher of ourselves that we refuse to serve him? You guys following me? So we ask everyone here to serve. We think if you're going to say that you're being transformed in the image of Jesus, you actually have to look like the person you say you're being transformed into. Some of you might want to write this down. Ready? If I'm not looking less and less like my self-centered, I want it my way self, and more like I didn't come to be served, but to serve Jesus, then maybe I'm not truly being transformed. If I show up and it is all about me, what classes do you have for me? What songs are you going to sing for me? But nobody greeted me, but I did. Like, if you show up and it is about you, don't tell me that you're being transformed into the image of Christ. Okay? Because he came to serve. We show up with the attitude, Pastor, I'm here. What can I do today? How can I further the kingdom today? You just tell me. I'm on it. Toilets? Let's go. Trash? Yes. Pick up the parking lot? Whoa! I was hoping you'd say that. So that's the first thing, guys. True transformation involves being shaped in the image of Christ who came to serve. Second thing, I want you to know that God supplies and empowers us to serve in his mission. God supplies and empowers us to serve in his mission. So transformation begins when we hear, understand, and personally receive the gospel. Okay? That good news that though I am a sinner, God loved me and he sent his one and only son to do for me what I couldn't. That not only did he live the life that I couldn't, but he died the death that I deserved. And if I put my faith and trust in him, he will give me all of his eternal righteousness and take away all of my sin, thus making me a child of God once and for all. And it can't be taken away and it can't be changed. And even though I fail, I'm still a child and have full access and full inheritance. It's so good. The good news, right? It's so good. And when that happens, I'm born again, the Bible says, and literally The power of Jesus comes to reside in me through the Holy Spirit, and Jesus starts to change me, transform me from the inside out. He is my supply. Okay? It's not me. I actually can't do it, but Jesus can, and he promises to do so. This is John 15:5, right? Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, the one who remains in me, and I in him produces much fruit, but you can do nothing without me. So if we'll abide in Christ, if we'll remain in Christ, that transformation can happen with inside of us, but on our own by ourselves, we're like, well, it's the new year, I'm going to change some things. No, you're not. You're going to fail, right? So we need Christ in us. He's our source. And what is he empowering us to do? Well, he's empowering us, get this, ready? He's empowering us to serve in his mission. This is Acts 1:8. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power, okay? And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Notice, where does our witness begin? For them, it began in Jerusalem, right? It began right where they were. It starts right where they are. Next week, we're going to talk about sharing, but I just want you to focus on this morning. This empowerment from the Holy Spirit is meant to begin right here where I am within the church. It's going to spread out from there. The impact will go far, but it begins right here. You cannot serve the world if you do not serve your church. People are like, man, I want to see the nations come to know Christ. Great. Figure out how to serve your church first. Then let your church see it and send you off, right? But it begins where you are. So the Holy Spirit empowers us for the work of ministry here first. That's our starting point, our biggest emphasis. Okay? Now, speaking of our mission, right? This is our mission. It starts here. Speaking of our mission, let's read what we read just last week. This is Ephesians 4. I'm going to start in verse 11. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with stature measured by Christ's fullness, then we'll no longer be little children that are tossed about by every wind and wave of teaching. Right? The point of Ephesians 4 or Romans 12 or 1 Corinthians 12, all those passages talk about the body of Christ, that we're one body made up of many parts. The point of all of those passages is that if we don't play our role in serving the church cannot function the way that it is meant to function. You guys following me? Right? It cannot function the way that it's meant to function. So I want you to write down one more thing. I think I've got a slide for this, actually. Write this down. Ready? Because the church is a central part of God's mission of reconciliation. Because the church is the central part of God's mission of reconciliation, I must serve the church and play my role. Right? So why does the church exist? To equip the saints for what? For ministry. What is our ministry? It's a ministry of reconciliation. So listen, if the church is central to God's plan of salvation for the world, if that is true, then I must play my role in serving my church. Are you guys following me? And so we've talked about how everything we do here is designed. It's with a purpose. So one of the things we've really tried to build up here, and we're going to talk about it next week, but it is really a culture of invitation. We talk about sharing. Everybody should be doing one thing every week. This is the level of sharing everyone should be doing. Everyone can also do two. You can also do three. But we start with inviting people to church. Why? Because we've designed our services to preach the gospel every week. And so listen, easy invitation. Come with me to church. People you've been praying for, they're going to come and they will hear the gospel. They will hear how they can become a child of God. They'll have an opportunity to respond to the gospel, right? So like that's part of the design, okay? Second thing, we'll share God's stories. Third, we actually start sharing the gospel with them individually. Maybe we pray with them, lead them to Christ. We'll get into those next week. But everything we do here, because that's how we're set up, because every member should be actively, by the way, when we say inviting somebody, we're not talking about one person you pray for, okay? God has put you where you are on purpose, surrounded you with all kinds of people. You should be inviting all of them, not one. You know, some of you get hung up on one person. Man, I've been inviting this one guy. I don't know, he just won't come. So I invited this one guy one more time. He just won't come. I don't know. Nobody will come to church. I just invite this one person. One person. How many people did you rub elbows with this week, man? How many of you think don't know Jesus? How many of you think if Jesus came back tomorrow, would be separated from him for an eternity? Like, let's start inviting more than one person. Matters, right? And because we're trying to build that culture, everything we do here matters from the time somebody walks into our parking lot. From the time they pull in, we need somebody to greet them warmly. At the door with a bulletin in the parking lot, smiling, man, I'm so glad that you came. That's one place that you can serve, right? Because of our mission to see families transform, there is a good chance that they need to check their children in. I mean, a big chance. Guess what? That's a place that you can serve. We have people that help with check-in in preschool and kids, and they help both services, right? So that's a great place that you can serve. Speaking of kids, listen, our design rises and falls on the effectiveness of what happens in our children's ministry. People say, Pastor, what's the most important thing in our church right now? Across the hall? You want to know, listen, either the fire that will fuel our mission, or the thing that will cause us to fall flat will be whether or not we have enough people that have the heart of Jesus instead of the heart of the disciples. Remember, the disciples are like, nope, Jesus is too important for kids. But Jesus is like, no, bring the kids to me for the kingdom of heaven. Like, when people go, hey, I may not be gifted, but man, I can love children. I can give them a high five. Somebody says, I could rock a baby. Man, my grandkids are far away now. I could rock a baby for an hour. Yeah, let's do that, right? I could give some little kids a high five. I could sing Jesus Loves Me. I'm not a great singer, but man, it's great. Father Abraham and many sons, let's go! And, you know, give preteeners high fives and try to teach them how to speak real English. Gosh! So Ohio. And, you know, it's just, it could happen. And so, man, we need it. And I'm just telling you, people think it's about how many chairs we can fit in the sanctuary. It is not. We have more chairs in the closet. What our church rises and falls on how many volunteers we have across the hall. And right now, on both sides, we have classes that are closed. Because kids' ministry is rough. And it is hard. But if somebody says, Pastor, like, here's my favorite. Somebody says, I want to join the church. What is your greatest need, Pastor? I'm going to say, here's my greatest need. It's over there. It just is. Would you work with kids for 1 hour a week, right? So we need those places. That matters, right? Maybe you like to cook. Man, you like to cook. We need people to cook, right? So on Wednesday nights, we have these family-focused ministries where we're taking people, we're trying to help them, help their marriage, help their finances, help their parenting. And so you got to cook for those people and their kids and our youth, by the way. So, man, you could sign up to cook. Speaking of our youth, we need some adults that can show up at 4:30, and we'll love some teenagers. Give them a high five. Be like, let's shoot some hoops. I'll whip your butt in ping pong. Let's go. And so show up at 4:30. Be like, I can do that, right? I mean, you could help out. We're down two adult men that would lead tables for boys right now on Sunday morning, right? So could lead a discussion that know the Bible, that could just mentor some kids because we had two that had babies and they're out for a little bit. Like, you can do this, y'all. You know enough, right? Speaking of small groups, man, we need new small group leaders. Our goal is to launch 10 new small groups this year, okay? And so listen, Kevin, we'll teach you everything you need to know, right? We will teach you everything you need to know. You just got to sign up. And some of our best small groups right now, they started because the people met each other. They're like three or four couples, and they just said, hey, I guess we'll do one together. And they're killing it. They're killing it. You can do this. We can help. Speaking of help, I want to talk to you about how a service mindset can change somebody's life. So here's what I want to do this morning. I'm going to bring up a couple. Julio and Gisela, will you join us? We're going to do this. It's going to be great. Woo! And the kiddos will have to sit there, and we'll wave at them, and we'll talk about them. I want to talk to you guys about how this mindset of service has really impacted this family in particular. And so you guys got a mic? How are we feeling? Are we good?
Yes.
You got this.
My leg. I don't think I can sit because of my leg.
Okay. Do you want to stand?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Stand.
You want to stand? Hey, we can all stand. You want to just all stand? I mean, why not? I stand the whole time anyway.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. I was looking forward to the seating. No, I'm joking. All right, so I thought I had a moment there. So guys, Julio and Gisela have been with us for a while. I want you to hear the story of how they came in, what God's done. So Gisela, let's start with you. Can you share just a little bit about what was going on in your life when you first came to FBC, and what actually led you in the doors? How did you get here?
Okay, so 2 years ago, Julio and I were pregnant with our baby, Talia. She wasn't due till late summer, but at a 32-week appointment, my ultrasound wasn't looking great, so they rushed us to the hospital to have a premature baby that we were not ready for yet, because we were like, oh, we still have time. We ended up staying in the hospital for 3 months. Those 3 months were really, really hard. Julio had to decide between taking care of our older kids at home or being at the hospital with Talia. And not being able to work put us in a very hard financial situation where I was so shy, scared, embarrassed, nervous to reach out for help. At our Elgin community page, I made a post, and it said, is there anyone that has resources or information where we can get assistance to keep our electricity on or water bills due to having a premature baby? We had unseen what was the future holding for us. We had plans. God was laughing at us. He was like, huh, no, that's not it. So when I made that post, Kimberly Hall, Jasmine's wife, reached out. She commented on there, like, hey, these are some resources. She didn't only comment, but she also followed up along with me and was asking me questions. How is it going? Have you reached to them? Have they answered your calls? And she invited me to church. And I did not have a relationship with God because I thought I wasn't good enough for God. I thought my mistakes in life had me in a position that's why we were going through the things that we were going through. And then Kimberly, when she invited me, I said, oh, yeah, we'll show up. Then Sunday came around. I was like, I am so sick. I can't get up. I didn't sleep all night with the breastfeeding baby. And the kids and Julio was like, let's go. I was like, okay, we'll go this one time, and that's it. I'm not going back. Showed up. We sat down in the very back. Very back where no one could see me. I was like, yep, I don't want anyone to see me. Since we walked in, everybody was so kind. Everyone greeted us. I didn't feel nervous, shy anymore. I just felt this peace in my heart that I had never felt before walking into a church. And sat in the back, cried the entire time. The entire time. I was like, I hope nobody's watching me. No one saved me. I'm in the back. Just cry. Yes, listening to all the worship and the sermon. And at the end, they asked if someone needs a prayer, come up to the front and we'll pray for you. My legs were shaking and I just couldn't walk. And I was like, no, maybe next time. So we continue coming because my older two kids love it. And they were like, Mom, can we be back tomorrow? I was like, tomorrow's Monday, guys. Maybe next Sunday. And I was like, okay, they count down the days. And during that service, they also asked if anyone would like to come up that is going through any storms. We were talking about storms. Come up. So we finally came up, and everyone praying over us or with us brought that peace in our heart again that reminded us, like, God loves us. God is here to help us and guide us. And that's when we decided to sign up for classes. And
yeah, so Julio, that's your question, right? So you guys signed up for how to study the Bible.
Yes.
What was it like to hear the gospel for the first time in that class, right? Because, I mean, you heard it kind of clearly, and it was like, yes. Oh, my gosh. So what was that like?
It was life-changing. Oh, sorry.
No, that's perfect.
Because we didn't know anything about God. We came from a Catholic religion that didn't teach us any of that other than the same thing over and over, which didn't make no sense to me. And coming here and listening to the gospel was life-changing. It taught me that if we're good people, our sins are... If we are with God... I'm sorry, I'm nervous.
No, it's okay. I got you. This is hard to do, y'all.
Yes.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
It's my first time being up here and with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And
it's good. Yeah.
Yes, and coming to God is really, really helpful towards you and helps.
Yeah, and you, so you guys, I remember y'all it was part of the class, right? Afterwards, yes. This realization, like, man, we don't have a relationship with God. So Pastor John was here at the time and, yes. and led you guys, and y'all both asked Christ to come into your life. But it wasn't enough to stay with you guys. What happened next? What did y'all say to him next? You were like, can we go grab these guys, right?
Yes.
So then you guys came down, and they heard the gospel too. And so the whole family, after hearing and understanding the gospel, put their faith in Christ, right?
Yes.
Amen. And we baptized all of them. It was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. It was awesome. So, all right. So either one, Giselle, I know we've talked about this some. You faced some really incredible challenges in the past year. So it's not that the challenges were taken away, but what's different?
Not the challenges. They were not taken away at all. The evil one was like, hey, you're going to go paralyzed now. You're not going to be able to walk. So you won't go to church. I'm stopping you. And I was like, no. And I ended up in a wheelchair because I couldn't move the right side of my body. And it lasted for about 6 months. And through those 6 months, I prayed every day. I worshiped God every day. I'm like, I am so sorry. I continue having faith. I trusted in God. And that's something I will let everybody know and share is that I promised God that I was going to share the gospel. Mm. And I was, one day I was really, really shy, nervous, scared. I wasn't ready. And my God came into my life and changed everything. And I did have notes.
That's awesome. So what would you say to those people like you that maybe they're here, but they just feel maybe too far away from God to, you know, like what would y'all say?
What would I say? I would say, go to God, be there. He's always going to be there for you. You're not going to see him, but he's going to be there. Always give yourself to God, and he will be there always.
Amen. Amen. Hey, can we give them a round of applause? Guys, y'all did awesome. Y'all did awesome. All right. Go have a seat for me. Be careful down those steps. When they talk about trials haven't stopped for them, they mean it. So Julio does a lot of contract work. And specifically, he lays a lot of tile and stuff like that. So just last month, somebody went to their house in the middle of the night, stole all of his tools out of the back of his truck. So his ability to do stuff, and they're just praying, God, show up, God, show up. Maybe you're here and you have an extra tile saw sitting in your garage you ain't using. Hey, come talk. I mean it. Come talk to Julio. Like, that guy wants to put food on his table. And so we never know how God provides. But man, do you hear the faith, regardless of what's come their way? And they've had so many things, but they're like, no, man, this is it. We've got a relationship with God. Now it matters. So here's what I want to do with you. I just want to talk to you about what you should do because of what you've heard this morning. Number one, I think the same thing they would say, like, go to God, man, receive the gospel. Like, all of the empowerment, it all begins with a relationship with God. Without it, man, we're lost, right? Without it, we don't have hope. We don't have security. We don't know that we're going to make it. But man, when God is in our life, we feel that sense of what we just sang. I am not alone, right? I am not alone. You are with me. You won't forsake me. So that's first and foremost. And we'll have an opportunity at the end of the service. If you've never asked Christ to come into your life, to forgive you of your sins, man, listen, you are not too far gone, right? You are not too far gone. God loves you. He knew exactly what he was getting in you. That's why Jesus came, okay? Jesus came because we have all fallen. We all fall short of his glory. So if you're here and you walk through the doors and you're just kind of feeling guilty, man, the devil is twisting that into shame, trying to tell you you're not good enough for God. Jesus is proof. Jesus is proof that you're good enough for God. God loves you. He knew that you were a sinner. So Jesus lived the perfect life you could and died in your place, okay? Just put your faith and trust in him today. So that's number one. Number two, y'all, if we're going to be on mission, we got to serve. We just got to commit to serving. And it starts here. My Christians in the house, you were empowered to serve, all right? Not to just come, okay? It's not consumerism. It's not, what do you have for me? What can I get out of it? What's next for me? It's no, where can I pour into somebody else? Why? Because of what God has done for me. So we want to challenge you to serve. Here's what I want you to do. Here's a QR code for you. And remember, we said this, because the church is a central part of God's mission of reconciliation, I must serve the church and play my role. So do this. Take out your phone. Now, if you're already serving, okay, If you're already regularly serving, you don't have to do this, but some of you are not yet, and so I want you to scan this QR code. By the way, I left out two important ministries that we do here, places you can serve, like in this room. Can you sing? Can you play an instrument? Guess what? There's a place for you. And what you do, you'll scan that, you'll click under music, and ultimately what they're going to ask you to do, record yourself sitting at the piano playing or playing guitar. Record yourself singing a worship song, and you're going to send it to us. And then, you know, it's just easier that way. Also, up in the booth, I've got two people right now up here. I've got one in the back of the room, and I've got one in a closet back on the edge. So we have four people right now that are just running all the AV, the lights, and the video for what we do on Sunday morning. We need people in both services to help with that. So guys, there's a place for you to serve. If you're going to get on mission, y'all, you got to get on mission. We cannot say that we're being changed into the image of Jesus if we are not committed to serve as he served. Does that make sense? Are we good? Everybody got it? How many of you are like, I got it, but I don't want it? Okay? Welcome to real church. Real church is not about the consumer. It's about Christ and serving like he served, okay? We'd love to have you. If you're interested, man, again, scan the QR code. We've got all kinds of opportunities. Fill out the form. It's been redone. It's broken down by ministry. I think it's way simpler to see where you could plug in. By the way, I say this in love. You don't have to click every box, okay? Some people are like, everything! That's so hard for us. Just figure out what you, like, pick the two you really feel called to. Again, greatest need, it's across the hall in one of those areas. We can use you. We can use you weekly. Maybe you're just somebody says, hey, I can't do it weekly, but I could do every other week. I could be a sub. There's a spot for that, okay? So, man, get in on what God is doing. It is so cool when you see somebody come to faith in Christ. And did y'all hear all the parts that mattered? So their testimony is somebody reached out to them and invited them. We talked about that this morning. When they showed up, they felt welcomed, okay, because we have people that were committed that morning to welcoming it. When they said, we're not coming back, the kids are like, we want to go back. Why? Because people served in kids ministry and killed it. And they're like, we're so excited, we want to come back. And they're like, fine, we'll go back, right? All of it matters. The worship team mattered, right? All of it mattered. All of it played a part. You want to be part of their stories, guys. There's so many more stories we haven't told. Be a part of them. Commit to service, okay? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray for you. Then we got a few announcements. We're going to let you go. I'm going to do this. Don't freak out. The lights are going to come down for a second. We do it every week. But we have talked about the gospel this morning. I know it wasn't a deep dive, but it's been there. You heard a testimony, which I think is so powerful. We didn't feel good enough for God, but we got here and we heard the gospel. We heard that God loved us in spite of how we felt. We heard that Jesus lived the life that we couldn't so that we could have a relationship with God if we put our faith in him. We heard he paid the penalty for our sins by dying on the cross. Listen, if you're here this morning and you've never, you came because there's an absence in your life, you know it. You've never put your faith and trust in Jesus. Like today, if I said, are you a child of God? You'd say, I don't think I am. If that's you, but you would like to be, every head is bowed right now, every eye closed. I'm going to ask you to be brave and just raise your hand and say, I want to do that this morning. I'd like to become a child of God this morning. I want the peace that they spoke of. Is there anybody here? You just raise your hand bravely, hold it up high. It's a big room. Just say, man, I want to do that. Okay, I see one. Okay, I see two. All right. Anybody else? Awesome. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. If you raise your hand, nobody else is looking. Everybody's bowing their head in prayer. If you raise your hand, would you just make eye contact with me real quick? Just look up here. I see you. Okay, I see you. All right. Over here. I see you. We've talked. I know. Mom and Dad know. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray together right now. And if you're one of those people, you raise your hand and say, man, I want what they have. I want a relationship with God. We enter into that by confessing our sin and by saying just plainly, Jesus, save me, come into my life. And we typically do that. We want it to be heartfelt, so we're going to do it in prayer. And so don't freak out. We're going to ask you to pray what I pray, but you're going to hear everybody else praying with you. And they're praying with you for two reasons. One, they're praying for you. And two, they're being trained up to go out and lead somebody else to Christ. And so we're going to pray right now together. We're going to pray out loud. Let's do this together. Those of you that raise your hand, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you want this. Okay? Pray with me just with everything you are. Let's pray together. Dear God, I come to you right now. Just ask you to forgive me. I know I've done a lot of things I shouldn't. I'm so sorry. I didn't know that this was possible. I thought I was too bad for you. So to hear this morning that Jesus came for me, that he lived the life I couldn't, that he died to pay the penalty for me, God, it's overwhelming. It's the best way I know how. I just want to say, God, I'm so sorry. And Jesus, please come into my life. I'm going to give you control. Teach me now how to live as a child of God. Amen.